The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend, the final weekend in February on the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, we want to direct you also to our radio website, that is eradiosports.com, and keep the emails rolling in at info@eradiosports.com. We are so delighted to welcome into the program our guest, Jason Peter. Good weekend to you, Jason. It's hard to believe the month of March is just around the corner.
I know, March Madness, the tournament, it's all starting to play itself out, so it's an exciting month.
Well, I know we certainly got a lot of ground to cover, a number of topics we got to talk about, but what's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska right now with your women's basketball team, this unblemished record, beating up on my Oklahoma Sooners? Can you give us any insight? I mean, I don't know if you're a women's basketball fan.
I'm about as much of a fan as the next guy is, but right now, women's basketball has got this state just on fire, and Connie Urey has done a tremendous job. I mean, I think they're sitting at number three, and like you said, they took down Oklahoma, and they just continue to impress. And, you know, a lot, I think, going into this season, I think more of the attention was towards Doc Sadler and the guys, and he had went out and got a bunch of junior college kids and some kids that really look like Division I basketball players. So everybody was talking about the men's team, and, you know, sometimes it's not fair, you know, because Connie Urey has done a tremendous job for years and years and years, but now, finally, with the season that they're having and being ranked number three and winning the Big 12 conference, they're finally getting the credit that they deserve.
This is certainly a long time coming for Cornhusker fans, but I have to tell you, I've spent a lot of time in Lincoln, Nebraska, playing at the Bob Devaney Center. Are they ever, and I don't mean this condescending or as a slight to the Husker family, but will they ever upgrade those facilities? Or perhaps they have. I mean, I've not been there in some time.
Well, that's the big issue, especially in the off season here, is what to do with the basketball facilities. Do we go out? Do we build a new arena? Because they have blueprints. They have everything already done in terms of a new arena being built, and they would do it down in an area called the Haymarket. And it's a nice area, you know, certainly would, I think, draw more fans and more attention in the beginning, but it's like anything, you got to have product out there. And whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a basketball team, if the meal's not good at the new restaurant you just went to, you're not going to go back. And the same thing goes with a basketball team or an athletic team. Unless you're producing out there on that court, out on that floor, out on that field, people aren't going to continue to come back, especially when you talk about a state that's driven by football. In order for you to attract people consistently to another athletic event, there's got to be some type of success on that field or on that court. And with basketball, they've struggled. And, you know, that becomes the issue now. Do you build them a new arena, or do you just go out and get them, or you buy them and build them a new practice facility? And that's something that, you know, is hard for me to believe. Nebraska is the only team in the Big 12 that doesn't have at least a practice facility for their basketball teams. It makes it even more unbelievable with what Connie Urey has been able to do with the girls' team, because they both share the Devaney Center. And it's unfortunate, because I've talked to Doc Sadler, and sometimes some of the players on the team, they just miss practice. And I say, why do they miss practice? He said, because with trying to adjust everybody's schedule and having to work in the girls' basketball team, and then maybe sometimes it's the high school state tournament that's playing at the Devaney over the weekend. They just can't find a time that is set for every single day. So some days, when you count in kids' class schedules, sometimes they just can't make it, and that's unfortunate. So I do think that if it's not going to be a new arena, then it has to be at least a new practice facility, and then you can always kind of upgrade the Devaney. It's certainly an old and it's kind of a dark, dungy place, and I think everybody would love to have a new facility, but right now, when you consider the economy, I don't know if it's the greatest idea in the world to be building $100 million plus or whatever it may be, a new basketball arena.
Well, when they pack the fans in there at the Bob Devaney Center, boy, I mean, it certainly can give you a little bit of an intimidating feel when they do pack it out. Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. You have mentioned the men's basketball coach, Doc Sadler. Of course, Bo Pelini there really just, you know, providing so much energy with the program and how it continues to rise. What about the coaches there, Jason? Are they all pretty close, real supportive of each other, supportive of Connie and what she's been able to accomplish? I mean, with my experience being at OU, that coaching staff that's been put together there by the athletic director, Joe Castiglione, they are really supportive of each other. Is that the same? Do you find that to be true there at the University of Nebraska?
Yeah, I do. From Bo Pelini to Doc Sadler to Connie to Mike Anderson, the baseball coach, I really do think that is something that Coach Osborne, Tom Osborne, that he believes in is supporting one another. And look, I mean, in this state, there's not a competition between who has the most support, who people want to talk about the most. It's the head football coach, and that just happens to be Bo Pelini. But I do think that for most of the year, well, at least until teams kind of take themselves out of maybe postseason appearances. I do think all of the teams, they do, I think, receive a fair amount of support from the fans as well as, like I said, from the other coaching staffs as well. So, you know, to answer your question, obviously, I can't answer for them, but from what I can see from an outsider, taking a look in and knowing the type of person that Coach Osborne is, I would say that, yeah, they're very supportive of one another's programs.
Glad you were along with us for the 60-Minute Ride. Jason Peter is along with us with our Under the Helmet segment. It's time to shift avenues a little bit. We want to reflect and get your strong opinions on the Tiger Woods press conference on Friday. I will just admit and share that watching that, I certainly had tears running down my cheeks because, I don't know, I kind of feel like I have a vested interest in Tiger. I've certainly bought the products. My son, you know, looks up to him and has really appreciated, you know, certainly his contributions on the golf course, really a legacy that he has built. Jason, what was your thought and perhaps even your wife's thoughts, because I'm finding that men's opinions are differing than women's opinions. How was it in the Peter household?
We both agreed that it was pretty bad. You know, your heart goes out to his wife and the children and the mother, his mother that couldn't look at him the entire time he was talking until there was that set hug that I'm sure they had planned for at the end. But for me, I just think when you're going out to the public or you're going in front of these cameras and you're begging for people's forgiveness and asking, you know, your wife, not necessarily to take you back at that point, but, you know, for her to, I guess, maybe accept your apology, I just think that you can't go out with 3 and 4 pages of notes and just read. I think you have to come out and say, look, I messed up. I'm a human being, and I made some bad decisions, some bad choices. I don't blame my wife if she's going to leave me. I would love to fight for this marriage and do everything I can for my kids, but, hey, I wouldn't blame her if she left me. I just think there's so much more he could have done than go and read something that someone obviously had written for him. I mean, the times when he looked up into the camera and he would slow his speech down to almost make more of a point, I just thought it was so, so planned. And to me, it was just dreadful. It really just, For me, it almost backfired. For me, I almost think he would have been better off just not saying anything at all.
Do you think the camera going out, what did you think about that? I think it was at the 9-minute mark, the camera goes out, you get the side angle. You certainly, as you, and that's a great point that you brought up as far as that his mother really never made eye contact with him. Do you think that was perhaps staged? Was that a media little angle?
I never thought about it. If someone accidentally kicked the cord out to make them go to that other angle, but it's a possibility. I guess when you kind of dictate who's going to be in the room and that there's not going to be any questions, you know, some of these guys in the media, some of these guys that were probably setting up some of these things, they have friends, and you know, maybe one of them asked them to kick that cord out, and maybe then they have to go and use the other camera, and you can see more of who's in the room. I just think for me, it kind of reminded me of, you know, when the baseball players, when some of them that have been charged with you know, not crimes, but the use of performance-enhancing drugs and what have you, and they all come out, and the first thing is always, you know, I never did anything, and blah, 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 and no questions, and they just read the statement, and then a year later, they're found to be guilty, not only of performance-enhancing drugs, but more. And I just think that it just reminded me of like, A-Rod coming out or doing something like, you know, like he did, or Clemens or something like that. For me, I just think he had the opportunity to be so much more real, and it just came off as so planned. And I personally, and to answer your question about my wife, she was the one who was saying, I think it's horrible, and I can't believe he's trying to be so heartfelt with, you know, the way that he's speaking into the camera. And I was thinking to myself, this is the guy. No wonder maybe Buick was having a hard time selling cars. It wasn't the economy. It was Tiger Woods. It was your spokesperson.
That's interesting, Jason, because, you know, other people really differ. They thought that, you know, Tiger Woods, he came off polished. He looked like a politician up there. But I like the fact that the coverage leading up to the press conference, Rick Riley said, you know, the one thing I would like to see Tiger Woods do is to, you know, like you said, put away his notes, look directly into the camera, speak from your heart, share from your heart. And, you know, regardless, I mean, there's just a ton of opinions, a number of reactions, and it certainly was very captivating to watch, but very disappointing because after 3 months of silence, now he's really got to get back to work. My question to you is he a changed man?
That is, time will tell. Only time will tell. I mean, as someone who's gone through their own addictions, I've heard it all. I've said it all. I mean, when you come out of some of these facilities, and obviously sex addictions, different than drug addiction, but there are also a lot of similarities about it. And I remember coming out of, you know, the first three or four facilities that I was in and saying, I got it, I'm done, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And sooner or later, I was back and knee deep in my addiction. So for him, I truly do think that time will tell. And it will be interesting to see if his wife does end up leaving him, does that then make it okay for him to go back to this behavior? Or is this behavior, does he know it's wrong, or is it just wrong because he got caught? So if, you know, I think for us to really know the answer, and I don't know if we'll ever truly know the answer, I do think a lot has to depend on whether or not his wife stays with him and how he carries himself after that.
How much do you think it's a symptom of losing his father? That's not to make an excuse, but do you think it really escalated? You know, when you lose someone like your father, how big of an impact do you think that has happened?
I don't think it had a big impact. I think this kind of stems from a guy who was a golfer for most of his life, for all of his life. I mean, there's video footage of him on what, the Tonight Show, when he's 2 or 3 years old hitting golf balls, and this is a kid that grew up on the golf course, and let's face it, until Tiger Woods really became the superstar athlete that he is, golf was never really the cool thing to do. And he made it cool, but for him at the time, going through high school and going through college, if not, you know, I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say he probably wasn't a real big ladies man. He probably didn't do a lot of dating. You know, he was almost sort of kind of like a dork, so to say. And now all of a sudden, people are throwing money at you. They're throwing everything you could possibly dream of, and you're hanging out with superstars and Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan and everybody else, and everybody wants a piece of you now. I do think you almost feel like, maybe I do need to experience some of the stuff that I never got to do when I was younger. I mean, he did go from this kid from high school right to Stanford, right onto the tour. Then he's married, then he has kids, and you know, maybe he never got that period in his life where you get to kind of sow your wild oats. And, you know, he, I guess, figured that didn't really matter. He had a ring on his finger. He was going to go out and do it anyway.
Well, it's not the first time we've certainly talked about these kinds of things happening, whether it's big-time athletes, politicians. You know, you think of Kobe Bryant, Jimmy Swaggart, Bill Clinton, and even the governor of New York. I guess my question to you is, Jason Peter, you know, and you have talked about, you know, being an addict and going through things. How do you prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, I think if it's something, and he touched on this, where he got away from living with the beliefs and the values that his parents raised him with. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. I know for myself, battling my addiction, that's what it was about. It was about me not living my life the way that my parents raised me to live it. And for Tiger, I'm sure his parents raised him with good values and good morals and told him to be a stand-up type guy. And with the actions that he's had over the last few years, that's not really, I think, in line with what his folks had in mind. So if he gets back to living the way that his parents raised him to, I think he'll be all right.
Well, I have to say, I'm a person that believes in grace. I think he deserves a second chance. You know, he's definitely got a long road ahead of him. I mean, I think you're an incredible testimony to that on second chances, and I'm sure that you would agree with the same, Jason.
He'll come out smelling sweeter than ever if he can.
Well, I don't know about that, Jason.
I just think that I think America and people in general, but mostly America, they love the comeback story. They really do. And his wife might not think it's great, but for the average Joe who enjoys watching him play golf on Saturday and Sunday when he's, you know, watching from his own living room or his own television room in Minnesota or California or wherever, for them, you know, Tiger, maybe he disappointed them, but he didn't really hurt them personally like he did his wife. So I think for a lot of people, I don't know how much they were hurt by this. Like you said, Tiger played a role model to a lot of young kids. I mean, people looked up to him. People wanted to be like him. And I think for those younger people, they probably were hurt. But I do think that America, they love to give people second chances and sometimes third chances and fourth chances. But for Tiger, this would be his first chance back at making it okay with everybody else and all of his fans, and I really do think that he can come out looking really, really good and having a lot of support if he gets through this.
We are rolling through the weekend on the Big E Sports Show with one of our favorite guys, Jason Peter, our Under the Helmet segment. You'd think we'd be talking football, but no, we are talking Tiger, and it is time to talk some football. How about the tearful LaDainian Tomlinson? Super Bowl title, of course, is still in his sights, but I have to tell you, Jason, that was really hard to watch a grown man cry. And of course, we love him here in Fort Worth, a product of Gary Patterson's program at TCU.
Yeah, anytime you have an athlete where, you know, it's not the end, but in a way it is the end. I mean, it's the end of LT in San Diego. And you're talking about one of the great all-time running backs in the history of the NFL. And everybody knows there's been a little bit of, I don't know if bad blood is the right word, but with general manager Smith out there in San Diego, there's been stories that have come out over the last couple of years about about the relationship between him and LaDainian, and even LaDainian still says that he wasn't really given a reason, nobody really told him anything, just that he was being released, and he was no longer a San Diego Charger. And I don't know if that's the truth. If it is, there's certainly no way to, I think, deal with a guy who's given you his heart and soul and his body to go along with it. And he deserves the very best. And, you know, I know for myself, and I didn't play as long as LaDainian, and I didn't have the impact on my NFL team the way that LaDainian has, but it's a hard thing to let go. And I think it probably has hit LaDainian in the last year or two that he's kind of seeing the clock start to wind down, and it's going to be coming to an end. And that's hard for an athlete, because when you get into this game, and even when you get into the NFL, you think that you're going to play forever. When you're year one, two, three, you still are thinking, man, I'm going to play nine or ten more years, and I'm going to play for a total of 13, 14, 15 years, whatever it may be, but one day, whether it's sooner or later, that final day is going to come to an end, and it's a hard, hard thing to deal with. Fortunately for LaDainian, he's played well enough and long enough, and financially, I hope he should be at least secure with the money that he's made, but it's been a real blessing to watch that guy play, because you know, for many, many years, San Diego, it wasn't like they had great offensive lines in front of him. He was the one shining star coming out of San Diego, and they really built that team around him. But for many years there, at the beginning of his career, he didn't have a lot of help. I mean, he didn't have a lot of other Pro Bowlers that were playing around him and successful football players. So for him, he really was that rock, I think, that San Diego built on.
Well, LT, with an emotional farewell to San Diego, but Jason Peter, what do you think his options are? What team would he perhaps might be a nice fit? I know that you had mentioned or alluded to, you know, age. I think he's 30 years old, but obviously some of the injuries that he has had. Where could he perhaps be a nice fit?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, once kind of free agency comes to an end and once the draft is settled, I think then you'll probably see where LT could probably fit best. But I got to believe that he wants to go to a team that is close, a team that can maybe put a ring on his finger and he can be a world champion before he goes out. You know, it's a very similar situation, I think, as what Edgar and James went through a few years ago, where you kind of get to the end and then you're just kind of looking for a place to stop for a year or two, and hopefully that one or 2 years can be one of the most successful years that you had as a professional athlete, and hopefully you can win a world championship. So for LT, if he wants to play, you know, obviously finances will be an issue if he lets them be. But if it's not about the money, I'm sure any team would love to have a guy like this, just for the pure veteran leadership that he provides, just the fact that he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats in the NFL. Why, as a coach, you wouldn't want to have a guy like that tutor some of your younger guys? It would amaze me if there wasn't somebody out there that could use somebody like that.
Let's talk about the future of the NFL. Of course, the NFL Combines got underway this week, and I got to ask you, JP, for you and Grant Wistrom, two of the greats to come out of the University of Nebraska and play for Tom Osborne, does that perhaps bring back a lot of memories for you, or has that changed a lot, or is it the same when you were a player? I mean, did you have to participate in the Combines?
Well, we went, Grant and I both, we went to the Combine, but we didn't work out at the Combine. And for us, we had just felt that if it was a matter of game tape, if you wanted to see game film, well, we both had 3 and 4 years of quality game film. It wasn't like we came on and played just for our last year. We were both starters since we were sophomores. I mean, we both walked away as three-time national champs, and for us, we felt like there was enough game film for us and enough time for some of these scouts to critique us, and we also looked at it like we got the least amount of time to prepare for the combine. Since we played in the last game of the college season, we didn't have as much time to get ready for the so-called interview. And when you're going and trying to impress 30, 32 teams, whatever it was at the time, when you're trying to impress these scouts, you don't want to leave any indecision, or you don't want them to leave with a bad taste in their mouth. And maybe they say, well, he's not as big as we thought, or he's not as strong as we thought, or he's not as fast as we thought. And you don't want that to come down because you didn't have enough time to let your body heal. And when you talk about playing the last game of the college football season in the beginning of January, and this event taking place the last week in February, I mean, you really have no time to take off and let your body heal. And trust me when I say, I mean, you lose a lot of strength and you lose a lot of energy over the course of a season. When you're playing 13 games and you're getting banged up, just the little things add up. And when that day comes where you start training for the combine, sometimes it's not like you're in perfect shape. You know, you got an ankle that's been twisted 3 and 4 times over the course of a season. You got 2 broken fingers. Maybe you got something wrong with your hand. Your neck has got a bunch of cranks in it, and everything's a mess. So sometimes it is the best, I think, decision for some of these guys to not perform if you're in a situation like that. There's a lot of guys where you have to go no matter what, and you have to perform. But if you are a guy at the top and your body needed a little extra time to rest, I think it's all right to do that. Although now I know a lot of guys are kind of changing that mindset and saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to work out. Now, I don't know if that's because college football has gotten a little bit soft and nobody runs the ball anymore, so maybe guys aren't as banged up as they used to be, but we'll kind of see. We'll see who works out, who doesn't.
Getting ready to wrap up our segment with Jason Peter, our Under the Helmet segment. We've hit on a lot of things. I promised all of our listeners at the top of today's program that we would hit on just really quickly on the Winter Olympics. I know that you have a true affinity for hockey, and we've also been watching some of the skiing coverage and kind of the back and forth between Lindsey Vonn and her teammate.
It's been unfortunate to see. I mean, when you talk about the Olympics, it's, you know, everybody kind of fighting for their own country and respecting all the other athletes, and I'm sure there's frustration with Mancuso because all the attention has been on Lindsey Vonn. So even when you're winning silvers and you know, maybe she's not finishing at all, or maybe she finishes bronze, it still seems that the story is focused on Lindsey Vonn. Well, that's just kind of the way the media works, I think, sometimes. And to come out and, I guess, call your teammate out on Twitter or whatever form of the media she was using, it was sad to see, because, like I said, I think when you think of the Olympics, you think of everybody at least who's wearing the same colors, and for Lindsey Vonn and Julie Mancuso, it is the red, white, and blue. That it's unfortunate to have them come out and kind of take a shot at one another.
Jason, always a pleasure to have you on the program. We always look forward to your opinions and your insight every single week. And we'll be talking some more college football here in the next couple of weeks. So thanks so much for dropping by, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
All right. Thanks, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a minute on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.